THY crew, are you looking to discover your hidden why? Then take me up on this opportunity. It's a one-on-one complimentary coaching call valued at $250 where we chat and define your hidden why and the action steps that you can take to help living towards the life you truly desire. Guys, there's a limited amount of spaces available. What you can do is jump onto thehiddenwhy.com, go to the coaching tab, press the link, and then schedule a time that suits you. Would love to chat with you soon.
This is episode 194 on the Hidden Why podcast with Darren LaCroix.
You're listening to The Hidden Why with your host, Lee.
What would you dare to dream if you knew you wouldn't fail? Live your life so that whenever you lose, you are ahead, by Will Rogers.
G'day gang, welcome to this week's episode of The Hidden Why podcast. My name is Lee Martinuzzi, the host of the show, the world's go-to place when you want to discover your hidden why. Guys, here my goal is to inspire others to live a life as true as possible to themselves. I do this through my blog, through this podcast, through coaching and speaking. So hopefully you can take something away from it to really live your truth and live the life that you really want to live. I think that's what it's all about. Guys, this episode is a fantastic chat with Darren LaCroix, who is a International Toastmasters champion of 2001, out speaking 25,000 contestants from 14 different countries. He shares a lot of great gold in this chat. I think you'll thoroughly enjoy it. If you do, please share it with your network. That's probably the best thing you can do for me. And until the end of the show, we'll speak then. Enjoy.
This is The Hidden Why, discussing ideas and thoughts on living life with passion and finding your hidden why, your reason, your purpose.
G'day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this exciting episode of The Hidden Why podcast. My name's Lee Martinuzzi, and I'm pumped and excited to have Darren LaCroix here with me today. Darren, how are you?
Doing good. Talking to you from Las Vegas.
From Las Vegas.
Yes.
Nice, mate. Thank you for taking the time out to join us and sharing your inspiration, your gold, and anything that really can help our audience.
Well, glad to be here. Thanks for having me, and let me know what you want to know.
Yeah, well, let's get right into it. First, I suppose, to put some context around it, what has been your history? I know, I mean, on your website, you can read a little bit of your story, which certainly I'll put into the show notes. But you've come from a different background and really pushed yourself to achieve some amazing things that potentially maybe you never thought you could achieve. tell us your story, Darren.
Well, thanks for asking. Yeah, it does catch people's attention, and you know, just the life that I lived, I didn't realize how amazing it was until later on when people told me. I just was a guy who grew up being a quiet kid, at home was a wallflower, never, you know, I was always the nice guy. I played baseball, but I never really started. I played football, but I was on the second string. And then just, I always, when I was really little, I remember wanting so badly to be like my cousin and my brother, who were very funny. But I just wasn't. I did not have that. I was, in my bio, it says I was least likely to ever be considered funny. So in 1992, I had suffered a loss from a business. I had, right after business school, I went out for the American dream and I bought a Subway sandwich shop.
Oh, wow. I used to work at Subway.
Did you?
Yeah, loved it.
Well, it was a good business, but when Subway back in those days, they had statistics and they had a 98% success rate. Mm. So I had to really screw up to be in that
2%. You're in the 2%. Okay. Well, there's some honesty as well.
That tells you a lot. So I just, you know, I was right out of business school. I thought I knew better than 5,000 stores and, you know, the experience. So I was, had it for about a year and a half, and I had to move, you know, back home with my parents. And it was horrible. It was the lowest point in my life. And one of my buddies gave me a motivational tape of a man named Brian Tracy.
Oh, yeah.
And on that tape, Brian asked a question. He said, "What would you dare to dream if you knew you wouldn't fail?" And I thought, I'd be a comedian. How cool would that be? Make people laugh and earn a living at that. That would be the ultimate. But all of a sudden, then the doubting voice popped in. "But that's not you, Darren. You're not funny."
Yep.
But that wasn't the question. The question was, what would you dare to dream if you knew you wouldn't fail? And thank God I was at the lowest point in my life. because if I was not at the lowest point in my life, I would never have said, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to do it just once. I don't have any dreams of doing it, but I don't want to live with the regret of wondering what if. So, you know,
why did being at the low point of your life help take that courage to do that?
Well, because I had nothing to lose.
Yeah, I like it.
You know, yeah. I'm living at home with my parents. I have college debt. I have a business debt. My business, you know, is no longer existent. I had to get a part-time job to pay my employees near the end just so I didn't default on my loan. And I had nothing.
Yeah.
Literally. And I owed people. I thought I would never get out of this. So I just, because I was at such a low point, I said, I really have nothing to lose. So why don't I try it? Who cares if, you know, 25 strangers in a comedy club don't laugh at me, you know?
Yeah. You've got bigger problems, I guess. Yeah,
exactly. But I didn't want the regret of wondering, well, what if I could?
Yeah.
And so I decided, when I told my friends and family, they of course thought I was crazy. And then I decided, you know what, I'm asking people who have never done it. So this might be crazy, but let me ask someone who's actually accomplished it and get their advice. And so I went to a little comedy club in Worcester, Massachusetts, near where I lived. And I asked the headliner, he seemed quite approachable. And I said, you know, hey, I want to try this. You know, what do I need to do? And he asked me a question. He said, are you funny? And I said, no. And he said, good. and like that struck me. Good. What do you mean good? But I leaned in. Now he had my attention. That was like compelling. And he went on to say, well, Darren, you know, nobody's funny at the beginning. Even the funniest comedians you've ever seen, at the beginning, they're not funny. Because being funny around your friends and family, like that's different. That's a very different skill set to being on stage in front of a group of strangers.
Mm.
Oh, now that made sense. And he said, but that one can be learned. You know, being on stage in front of a group of strangers, you can actually learn that. And yeah. And now I'm just about panting, leaning in. What do I do? What do I do? This, like, he just gave me hope. And so he said, well, first you need to go get the book. I'm thinking, book? They have a book about stand-up comedy? Well, of course they have books about everything, but I wasn't thinking that way. You know, I didn't think, go get a book. Like, it didn't make sense. But here's a guy who was doing what I wanted to do. He said, go get this book. So I went and got the book. Sometimes success is a lot easier than we think. We just get in the way. Guy who is where I want to be says, get the book. I went and got the book. And so, you know, and then he said something too. He said, well, number two, he said, you need to go to open mic nights and watch other people who are just starting out.
Hmm.
I thought, well, that's different, you know, because when I told my friends and family, they compared me to Jerry Seinfeld, you know, someone just thinking about it to someone at the top of their profession. And that's not fair, but it's human nature. So I went to a couple days later, a little comedy club called Stitches in Boston, right out near Fenway Park. And I walked into the club and I just looked at these people and I'm just like, wow, I'm really here. And I watched people go up for their first time and at open mic night. I thought, these people are horrible. And I thought, I can do that. I can go be horrible. And it literally inspired me. I'm like, you know, I've been rejected before. I've been through high school dating. Like, how bad could this be? So I was really nervous and scared, but I got the book. I studied the book. I went over the exercises. I did the exercises. And I got about 20 of my friends together. And I said, you got to come with me and force me to do this. I'm only doing it once. I'll never ever do it again, but you've got to force me, because I knew I would probably chicken out based on, you know, my lack of self-confidence. So I brought my friends with me, and, you know, honestly, they were coming to encourage me, but they also wanted to see the train wreck, you know, being honest. And
good mates too.
Yeah, good mates. And I went up on stage and I was horrible and I was nervous, and I have it on video because I wanted to prove to some of my other friends that I actually did it. So I had a friend video record my performance. And so I'm up there on stage and I was so nervous that my body wasn't doing exactly what my mind told it to do. And I was telling this one joke about Dr. Robert Goddard, who had launched the first liquid fuel rocket in history in my hometown. And I was talking about his first rocket launch and making fun of that. And I said the rocket took off, and I said vertically, but I brought my arm from left to right and made a horizontal gesture. So I said vertically, but I did horizontal. And at that moment, I realized I messed up. I realized I made this mistake, and I was just disgusted with myself. And I just said, ah, shoot. Well, not the actual word I used.
Yeah.
But I said, ah, shoot. And like everybody laughed. And I'm looking around. I'm like, what did I do? What did I do? And as I walked off stage, I realized that was the only laugh I got that night. But this man put his arm around my shoulder. He said, don't worry, man. It's just your first night. And I remember thinking, don't worry. It's just my first night. Did you see what I did? I got a laugh. I don't care if it was an accident. Like, I got a laugh. Like, no one told me I could do this.
Yeah.
I could figure this out. And that 5 minutes of time, even though I only had one thing that worked, I could get rid of everything that didn't work and just figure out how to reproduce the one thing that did work, and I could do this. And I never looked back. I started doing stand-up every chance I could. I took every class I could. I get every book I could. I found Toastmasters a couple years later, and I just found it as a place for stage time. And then eventually I found this thing called professional speaking a few years later, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. I don't have to be as funny. The audience will be sober, and they're going to pay me 10 times as much? I'm like, where do I sign up? Like, I want that. Forget stand-up. And I never looked back.
It's taken you. Wow, I love the story. Just incredible. And so many, I tried not to interrupt you there as best I could, but there's certainly so many takeouts for the audience there. And I'll just go back over them from what I got anyway. But number one is, First of all, dare to dream, which is really important, and dare to take that courage to go forward towards those dreams. I really think that's a key message for the audience listening. The other one was find those mentors, so those people that are in positions which you want to sort of grow into, you know, seek them out and learn and take their advice and take away what you can. I love the point about comparing yourself to others, because it's critical, and I think too often we go out there and compare ourselves to others and benchmark ourselves against these high performers who we only can see from an external perspective of how good they are at that certain thing, but there's potential, you know, mistruth to other areas of their life that aren't, you know, particularly great. And comparing can often lead us to burnout as well. So I thought that was a really good point there. And I love the idea of focusing on what works, so doing what you do and then saying, hey, well, that stuff doesn't work. This stuff did. So let's focus on that and improve that and find the gold there. And the journey it's led you on is incredible. Did you think you'd be there? Like, I think it said somewhere 9 years or so, that sort of journey from when you sort of decided to give it a go to when you actually won the International Toastmasters Championship, didn't you?
Correct.
In 2001. So that was, what, about a 9-year period of transformation, I guess, into that new world of stand-up public speaking?
Yeah, that's, you know, if you look at the culmination of winning the speech contest, I mean, I was a part-time professional speaker, you know, in like 1998, so about 7 years later, but it took me until 2001 to quit my day job, and it was about a month after winning the championship that I finally quit my day job and did it full time.
Wow. Ah, it's a lovely story. There's the inspiration, guys, which is what we like to bring to this show, just to show you that it's possible. You know, you can go out there and do it. I want to break it down and find out the lessons that you learned from that, Darren, just that trip, and certainly I want to get into, you know, your expertness now on motivation and inspiration. And also speaking. So perhaps we can touch on those three points during the conversation.
Sure. But
what were your challenges? Because often people go out there to pursue these passions and, you know, pursue that dream, and then they stop because it just doesn't happen quick enough for them. What's your advice for people starting out? Because, you know, 9 years or 7 years for you to get into public professional speaking, I mean, that's quite a bit of time. And I know a lot of the millennial generations,
They would give up well before that if they didn't have the success or even signs of it.
That's a very important point, crucial point. Did you ever see the movie Miracle about the 1980 hockey team? Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah, it rings a bell. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, I love that movie. And at the very end, there's just, it's about Herb, who is the coach of these young guys. And he just said something that stuck with me. And he said, look, seeing these eager young guys going after an unknown. And I think all of us, I didn't know I would ever be able to do it full time. I didn't know. And, it's one thing to work really hard. And everyone would be willing to work hard if they knew and were guaranteed it would pay off.
Yeah.
But there is no guarantee. And you are working towards an unknown. And I would say my advice for anyone is early on, as soon as you can, find a mentor. Find someone that you trust that you know has their best interest. I mean, your best interest at heart.
Yeah.
Because that mentor, when I wanted to quit, it was actually I didn't mention this, but side story connected. Before I came to Toastmasters, it was about a year and a half into my stand-up comedy career. I was maybe getting in 5 minutes of time, because that's all you get during open mic nights. I was maybe getting 3 or 4 laughs. And I'm sitting in the back of the comedy club with my mentor, Vinny. And, he was kind of encouraging me. We were sitting there and we watched this guy go up. It's his very first night. I've been doing it a year and a half, getting 3 or 4 laughs in 5 minutes and some little pity laughs as well. But he goes up and he crushes it his very first time on stage. And it just killed me. I'm like, I am working so hard. And here's this guy. It's his first night and he kills it. And I'm ready to quit. The little muscle in the back of my neck snapped. I just went, and I turned to Vinny and he saw the expression on my face. And I said, Vinny, how do you know who's going to make it? It's this guy's first night and he's rocking it. He said, well, yeah, it's his first night. He said, come back next week when his buddies aren't here and see how he does. He said, Darren, it's actually an easy answer. Whoever makes it is the person who keeps going.
Mm.
And that was gold.
Yeah.
I didn't realize at the moment the brilliance of that. But it's super simple. Just keep going and fail and just keep going and fail and just keep going. You're the only one who can call it quits. Nobody can call it quits for you.
Yeah.
And, and then he turned to me. He said, you know what? He goes, he taught me, if you've ever heard me or you know my story, he's the one who taught me stage time, stage time, stage time. Any day that you don't get on stage is a day that you don't grow.
Yeah.
And so he saw that I was working hard and taking every opportunity I could. But I think he saw that there was even more in me than I saw, more persistence or perseverance. And he said, tell you what, because at the beginning of my career, I'm still just doing open mic nights. That's the only place I'm allowed. I'm not playing the big function rooms where there's 200 people laughing, joking in a good mood. No, I'm going to do an open mic night in the back of a Chinese restaurant with a light bulb hanging from the ceiling. That's our spotlight. On standing on a milk crate, and that's not even an exaggeration, but that's all you get at the beginning. You've got to prove yourself in that atmosphere to get the privilege of a good atmosphere.
Mm.
And which is beautiful because you actually learn more from tougher audiences about your material.
Yeah.
Easy audiences are fun, but you learn more from the tougher audiences. And then Vinny turned to me and said, yeah, you've been taking that stage time thing to heart. I like that. He said, but let me tell you something. I'm going to give you 5 minutes of stage time wherever I play. Okay, so he's a headline comedian. He plays the best showrooms. He just offered me 5 minutes of stage time during his show. So he has the ear of the nightclub owner. So if he says he wants me to go up for 5 minutes, he can go up for 5 minutes because he's the headliner. They kind of rule the comedy club. And so he just offered this to me and my eyes just went wide open. And he said, but let me tell you something, Darren, if you ever, ever, ever turn down stage time, I will never help you again. And what he just did for me now is those times I didn't want to go up because it was going to be painful.
Yeah.
He just made it more painful for me not to go up than to go up.
Mm.
That little difference made all the difference. And I really think that's the reason I kept going. So going back to my advice, find a mentor as soon as you can, and don't stick to one. You know, I mean, people say, how do you find a mentor? Well, take every class you can, read every book you can, and ask around and talk about it. And, you know, how do you get a mentor's attention? You take the advice and you go for it. I think that's, you brought up the millennials. That's one of the challenges I see with millennials and their success is that they're not willing to make mistakes as much, and they're not willing to be hungry as much. Mm. You know, I made more mistakes, but a mentor is going to – it's easy to stand out to a mentor because they see everybody. They give the same advice to everybody. But that guy who goes and does it 3 and 4 times more than everybody else, it's easy to spot them. And they're probably going to fail more, but in every fail, they're getting a seed of some new lesson that they learned from real life experience, not from a book, not from somewhere else. So because of that, they're going to grow faster. Yeah. Well, now I mentor a lot of other people. Who do you think I want to help? The person who just is looking for validation? Or as Craig Valentine says, the person who truly wants an education? Mm. Well, if I see somebody doing taking the advice and go doing it 100-fold, that's the one I'm going to help. Why? Because they're going to do more with my advice. They're more serious. If I, you know, I tell people, you know, a lot of speakers want to be funnier. And so the first thing I say, and they come to me for advice, I say, go get the Judy Carter book, the one that was recommended to me called Stand Up Comedy, the book. And I'll say, you know, that's your first step. And then ask me whatever you want. And they'll say, well, let me just ask you this. Or they'll come back a week later. Hey, I have a question about this. I'm like, well, what does it say on page 42 at the bottom of the Judy Carter book? Oh, well, I didn't have a chance to get that. Well, then I don't have a flipping chance to give you any more advice until you do that. Mm. If you're not willing to go get a $12 book, you're never going to do the hard stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Nah, powerful message. What, I don't know, for me, I had this thought came through the other day by consistently going, to do this, and I think it might be something that stops a lot of people, that you have the thought about, what happens if I kept doing this, and nothing comes in the next 5 years? Will I be looking back with some regret or blah, blah, blah? And you get those thoughts, and they almost put you off, you know, proceeding. But do you get those thoughts, or did you have those thoughts as well? You know, like, what if I keep doing this and nothing comes from it?
Then, you know, if you have those thoughts, congratulations, you're normal. But if you're not celebrating your progress along the way, you're done. You're going to stop.
Yeah.
Like if you're not noticing any progress, well, then you're probably not really hungry enough to learn the lessons that's going to show you progress.
Yeah.
Now it's easier for people to around us to see the progress than it is ourselves. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But if you're not, you know, if you don't have any benchmarks, any recordings, anything that's trackable, it's going to be hard to see your progress. And you've almost got to do it despite that, meaning you can't not do it.
Mm.
You know, people come to me, I want to be a speaker. I'm like, well, don't. If I can talk them out of their dream, then they're just not serious. I try to talk people out of your dream. If you're like, no way, I'm going to figure this out. Okay, you're the guy. You're the gal. I can help you because you got that attitude that's going to figure it out. But if you think you're just going to, you know, buy one program, even for me, you know, jump on my university and you think in a week you're going to, you know, start getting $10,000 checks, you know, you're smoking crack. That's not how it works, you know. Yeah. I can show you the way to go, but you've got to be willing to put in the effort. I have this little a formula that I call the math, M-A-T-H, the math to mastery, which is effort times direction multiplied by direction equals mastery. Effort times direction equals mastery. See, you supply the effort. The mentors, the courses, the books, that supplies the direction. So you can work really hard in the wrong direction, and you're not going to get anywhere. But if you are savvy enough and experienced enough and trust in your heart and you find the best teachers, the best examples, the best books, the best audios, and you are hungry to find that good direction, you put good effort in good direction, you're going to figure it out. And there's going to be some bumps along the way. And just like a GPS, you're going to take some wrong turns, but it'll recalculate and your mentor or the guidance will get you there. Mm. But you've got to be, here's my best insight in this. A little bit of effort in the right direction will outperform massive effort in the wrong direction.
Yeah. Absolutely. Powerful message, guys, listening out there. And I love the idea that, you know, if you can be talked out of your dream, then perhaps it's, you don't have that strong enough why or reason to be doing it. Yeah.
And find another dream. That's okay. Yeah. Maybe that's not the one. But if I talk you out of this dream, go find one that I can't talk you out of.
Yeah. And that's the idea of, you know, experimenting with things and trying things. And, you know, you'll find that fit. I often find, you know, that the way for me to keep going as well is just by enjoying what I do. And if you really enjoy what you do, yeah, then
exactly, you
know, it's just great. Like, who cares?
It's almost like in the stand-up comedy days, I remember it's almost like an addiction that there's somehow, like, if you're destined to do this, like, it's almost like the universe or God, whatever you want to call it, I would have like 3 or 4 more gigs on my calendar. I'd be like, that's it, I'm done. And you know, you have a horrible night and then I have another horrible night and I'm like, oh, I am so sick of this. I committed to that, you know, Sunday night at Stitches, the end of next week. I'm just going to do that. And then something happens that last night when you committed to quitting, and it's going to be magical and you get sucked back in and you're addicted all over again.
Yeah, it's true. I like it. Very cool stuff, mate. What, were you always interested in speaking, like comedy? I mean, you said you were, you know, you had funny friends and you're always inspired to be funny, but what was your speaking experience like before you actually started to get up to, you know, comedy shows and stuff?
None. Zero. Never, other than maybe a high school book report, never was on stage. I was always the quiet, shy one.
Wow, there you go.
It just, you know, to me... You know, I did some work on this, like going to self-development seminars, and it was kind of an interesting aha that you probably love because it goes to what your message is about your why, which I agree with you, I think is so important. You know, I asked myself when I started getting some success, I still, you know, was only a few years into it, but I was maybe an opening act or a middle act at best. And I took this self-development course and forced me to go into why do I do this? Why driving down the road at the lowest point in my life, why did the Brian Tracy question strike me? And I answered, comedian. What would I dare to dream if I knew I wouldn't fail? Comedian. Why did that pop into my head?
Yeah.
And I was watching, and I really thought about that for a long time, and I did. The answer didn't come quickly. But later on, I was watching this, it was like a 90s romantic comedy called The Bed of Roses. And the premise is Christian Slater, the main actor, owned a flower shop. And he not only owned the flower shop, but he actually personally delivered the flowers. Mm-hmm. So he was the delivery guy too. And the reason he was the delivery guy was he lived for the moment that the person opened the door and saw that the flowers were for them, and when the smile jumped on their face. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, that's it. That's why I do it. Like, I love watching people laugh, but if I can be the one who instigates that laugh, who makes that laugh happen, I will figure it out because I live for the reaction. Mm. And later on in my career, I realized I loved getting the laughs. But what started meaning more to me was the ahas, you know, becoming a speaker and a trainer, training other speakers. When I can help somebody get an aha was more powerful to me personally and felt better to me personally than the ha ha.
Yeah.
So I took the ahas over the ha has. And one of my life coaches, her name is Dawn Nocera, and she said, which is brilliant, she said, an aha is the letting go of a previous belief.
Ah, yeah.
An aha is the letting go of a previous belief.
I like that. And so for you speaking, you know, you said, you know, the school report at school, I can remember doing those and I used to have nightmares for months before one of those. just hated it, terrified of it. And recently I joined a Toastmaster club, and the kick that I got out of speaking was phenomenal. And I just loved it so much, and I became quite good at it in a short time. Not to international standards like yourself, but it's certainly amazing what you can achieve. And I sometimes think it's those things that you fear the most that you can actually succeed at the best, because you have to fight harder to really master them.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree? Yeah?
Totally. Yes, absolutely.
All right, I want to get into a bit more. I suppose, gold as far as motivation and inspiration and what you know around that. How do we inspire ourselves and be more self-motivated to get going with these dreams and towards, you know, all those projects and goals that we so desire to achieve?
Well, to me, I think, you know, Jim Rohn said it best when he said, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
Yeah.
And look at your environment. Look at the things around you, the things on your desk and the people around you. And I did a keynote a couple years ago about, it's called Sponge. And the question I asked, what are you sponging? What are you sponging? You know, what are you surrounding your environment with? Do you have inspirational ideas? Like I have right over my desk right now, it's kind of one of the coolest posters I've ever seen. And it's a picture of Walt Disney standing in front of Cinderella's castle, but it's translucent, so you can actually see what's behind it, and it's superimposed over a picture of the land where Disney World was built, the swamp land that everybody talks about that he bought and built Disneyland on. And it just says vision, and it says one of his quotes, it's kind of fun to do the impossible.
Disney's quote.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to do the impossible. So I have that over my desk, and I have, you know, my favorite movie in the world is Rudy. And so I actually have a signed picture of the real Rudy up on the shoulders of the guys from the Notre Dame football team on my desk to remind me. And trust me, just because I surround myself doesn't mean I don't have bad days, doesn't mean I don't get depressed. But if my environment was less, or I have people around me that I allow to influence me be naysayers rather than encouragers. I got a great family. I love my family and they love me. And I'm so fortunate growing up with a loving family. But, you know, my brother and sister were not encouraging for me to become a comedian. So I couldn't spend time with them. I didn't, you know, when I was around them, I didn't talk about the comedy thing. You know, I talked to people only who would encourage me. So you got to only share your dream with encouragers, you know, so be a sponge. And, you know, so much time I think is wasted. And I got to remind myself too, TV, you know, I love TV. I always have it going on in the background. Living, you know, at home alone, it's kind of like my background noise, if you will. But when I'm driving, you know, now I had to remind myself, I'm listening to the audio book of about Elon Musk right now. Oh, so cool. What are you spending your time listening to or reading and feeding that brain? Because if you're just feeding that brain, you'll get thoughts or ideas that will help you overcome the challenges in front of you. But if you're listening or just, you know, playing music all the time, well, music's good and it changes your mood. But if you're listening to music for hours and hours and hours, I love what Brian Tracy told me about that. He said it's like chewing gum for the mind, you know. After it changes your mood, then it's just chewing gum to your brain. So what can you do to, you know, what audiobook can you listen to instead? You know, hey, it's good to work out and you need your music. There's nothing wrong with that. But you're probably spending too much time listening to something where you could be listening to something that's encouraging, that's motivating. So I think your environment is really the key to that, and being willing to ask for help.
Absolutely. I've just got my child screaming in the background there, mate. Having a good old laugh. So really good points. The people you surround yourself with, and, you know, you can go out there and connect with them in the real world, but as you said, you know, just audio stuff that is in your environment, you can certainly bring that into your day to really help give you that motivation and encourage you. Because what I find with motivation is it can be rather short-lived. And I just relate back to going to a seminar, and you go to these seminars, and myself included, but you see the whole environment. They're pumped, they're energetic, they're ready to go. you know, they walk out of there like they're ready to rule the world, but then the next day they fall back into their old ways. So that's why I feel that it's important to have that continual motivation around you as well, because it continually keeps you inspired and moving forward in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Just on the music thing, I switched off the music once I got into the personal development. I turned everything into podcasts and audiobooks and that inspiration and totally switched off from music. And only recently I've started connecting back, because I used to listen to, you know, the music all the time. And only recently I just choose the appropriate time now when it's, you know, a Sunday afternoon typically. My daughter likes music, so we turn on some music. And I enjoy it much more too than constant music as well. So it's an interesting point, and I thought I'd just add to that as well.
Absolutely. Well said.
So what else there for motivation and inspiration can we do to, you know, keep us going and pushing us towards that extraordinary life?
I think personally, I think you've got to find the association related to your industry.
Yeah.
You know, by staying on top of what's happening, reading articles on top of what's happening in your industry, or self-development for that matter. And then I'm a huge fan of a mastermind group. You've got to have a mastermind group of people who you meet once a month. If you're not familiar with the concept, go check out the classic book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And he kind of lays out what they are and how they work. But I'm in two or three mastermind groups, and they all bring something to me. And it's always sometimes like, oh, I got to get stuff done. Oh, I have that mastermind thing. But by the time we're done with the mastermind group, I'm so glad I came. I got one insight that was golden that I wouldn't have got by myself. Mm. So I really encourage, find a mastermind group. Warm, encouraging people who have some insights, some people from your industry. And it's really good to have somebody who's not in your industry to bring a very different perspective as well with you. So do you ever do masterminds?
I've been in a couple, but nothing that's lasted that consistently, actually. So yeah, it's a good reminder. And again, it just relates back to, you know, why surrounding yourself by like-minded people is important.
And I've had some that didn't work too. So not all of mine that I've been in work, but actually now that I say it, two of them are going and the other one is a Whenever.ly mastermind. I don't even know when or if there'll be another one, but the other two are pretty consistent.
Yeah. So it's important. And I guess, you know, you jump into them, and if they're not really connecting with you or not giving you the output, and you can't, you know, certainly have the input, then, you know, change doesn't matter.
Yeah. And if you don't feel inspired, if you don't feel encouraged by the end of like the second meeting, then chances are there's either one person who's not a good fit, or you're not a good fit for that group, and get out. You know, you got to protect yourself and your time.
Protect yourself and your time. But that message in life is important too, guys. If you're not enjoying what you're doing, get out. Start finding something that is.
And then one small tip that I constantly have to be reminded of, you've got to take the time to be organized. You know, I had a professional organizer come in, and I thought my office was good and clean, and I'm a minimalist. But oh my gosh, just having a professional help you get organized, or even just taking the time to put some systems in place, helps relieve your surroundings of clutter and your systems. You know, what are your systems? Are you always trying to work on a better system?
Yep.
Get organized.
That clutter. I'm a big productivity freak, and certainly clutter is that thing that I walk into environments, and you should see I've got in Japan here at the moment. I shouldn't point him out, but my boss's office, my God, you walk in there and seriously, it's like a room full of papers. it's hard to walk anywhere without actually walking into a box of papers. I just don't know how they get anything done. I really don't. Mm-hmm. Yep. Good point. I want to jump into some speaking questions for you now.
Sure.
Being an internationally renowned speaker, winning the 2001 Toastmasters International, outspeaking, you know, 25,000 contestants from around 14 countries is a rather a good feat, I would assume. So how was your experience with that? And then we'll jump into some questions about how we can, you know, adopt some techniques to improve our personal presentations.
Yeah, as the classic advice goes, it took me 9 years to be an overnight success.
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone that I get on this show, it's the same story. Like it's and typically it's around the 10-year mark.
Yeah, well, it was definitely 9 years for me. And but even in the ninth year, you know, I think the biggest challenge, in my opinion, to everybody, and the biggest thing between you and your success is your ego.
Yeah.
And that's exactly where I was. You know, at that time, I was in Toastmasters. One cool thing that did happen was I had a mentor that had passed away in 98, 99. And he kept telling me, because I was like this little, you know, that creature in Lord of the Rings, the precious.
Gollum.
Yes, Gollum. He's always lusting after, you know, the precious. And I was lusting after that bit or that story or that routine that would launch my career. I was always trying to find it, trying to find it, trying to find it. And my mentor said, he said, instead, Darren, of trying to find that bit or that story that launches your career, bit meaning comedian, but story in the speaking world that launches your career, he said, instead, take the stories you already have and make them so good, someone's be willing to pay for them. And that, even though that seems so simple, I realize that just because you can tell a story doesn't mean you're telling a great story. It doesn't mean it's an awesome story. And it probably could be told better if you knew some of the secrets of storytelling. So I had realized that at that time I had a part-time job. I was pursuing my speaking career. I was marketing myself every waking minute. The one thing I wasn't doing was working on my craft.
Yeah.
I was not working harder to become a better speaker. I was marketing to get more gigs, but you know, it's like if you're marketing a bad car, it still doesn't change it. It's a bad car, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So because of that advice, I was in a humorous speech contest around the same time, and I, you know, because of my stand-up comedy background, I came in second at the division level, but I was so mad and so upset because the guy who beat me used all unoriginal material, but he took all this unoriginal material and put it together so it seemed like it was original, but I knew it was all, you didn't write those jokes, dude. And I was so mad that I decided to boycott Toastmasters, and lo and behold, Toastmasters went on without me. And so I grew up over those couple of years, and in 2001, I joined the speech contest not to win, but to force myself to work on a story that I was already telling. You know, so I entered the contest, and I couldn't lose because the story was going to get better just because I was going to focus on it. So when I joined the speech contest in 2001, I just thought it went to the state level, basically, and that was it. You were done. You were king of the world. It was over. They give you a crown and $1 million check. Then they told me, oh, now you got to go to the next level. I'm like, what? Next level? And I didn't realize I was in the world championship of public speaking until I kind of got there. But my goal was not to get the trophy. My goal was to improve my stories so I would have better stories that I could get paid for.
Mm.
And so Craig Valentine, again, my buddy and a fellow world champion, says, if you want a masterpiece, you have to master the pieces. And so what I was doing was I was focusing on one story, which is an important piece of my keynote speech.
Yeah.
So each level of top three levels of the contest in the old days, you had to have a different speech for each of the top three levels. So I worked on my top, you know, three stories.
Yeah.
And so no matter what, I got better because the pressure of the contest forced me to work harder. And so when I had gone to the final level, I met Mark Brown, the 1995 world champion of public speaking. So I won the opportunity to go to the big dance, and I had about 2.5 months to work on my final speech when I met Mark Brown. And I just thought, well, if I had never really had a coach before that whole time period, and when I met Mark Brown, I thought, well, you know, he could just give me a couple tweaks. Like my speech is pretty good. You know, I'm good. I'm the king of my club. And Mark, literally, when I handed him the speech, which I thought was the greatest speech in the history of Toastmasters, Mark looked at my speech and in less than a minute started shaking his head. And he said, "Oh, Darren, we have some work to do." And I'm thinking, what? I wrote the greatest speech that I could write from the level I was at.
Mm.
But you don't really don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's so real transformation came because I became coachable to Mark Brown. So before that, in 2001, I kind of thought I was pretty good. But I still had a day job, and I wasn't as good as I thought I was. So that's why I say, going back to, I think ego is the biggest thing that keeps everybody from achieving how good they could be, because they think they're good enough.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it stops you really from connecting to, it stops you really connecting to your authentic self when you let the ego sort of get in the way too often.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So what are some speaking tips that you can give us then, as far as like, I don't know, have you got 5 tips that you give us that would help improve our presentations, or perhaps not just presentations, but our story as well?
Well, I will definitely give you some tips and stories. But if people want to text 44222,
yeah,
top 10 mistakes, no spaces, just top the number 10 mistakes, text it to 44222. I'll put you on my newsletter and I'll send you a PDF of the top 10 speaking mistakes that, after over a decade of coaching other speakers, these are the 10 things that I think are the biggest problems, whether it's an emerging speaker or a highly paid professional speaker. I see these all the time. And, you know, and this may sound like boring, but one of the biggest problems I see over and over again is just not getting clear on your message. Mm. And the key teaching point that I give to that is, before you even create a speech or a presentation or even a story, ask yourself, when I'm done speaking, what do I want my audience to do, think, and feel? And here's the key. What do I want my audience to do, think, and feel? All three of those. You've got to accomplish that in your speech. And then you've got to say it in 10 words or fewer. If you can't say it in 10 words or fewer, then you're not clear. And if you're not clear, the audience doesn't have a prayer.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have got to get clear on your message. It's almost like, okay, I'm going to go somewhere. I turn on my GPS and I say, which way do I go? Well, you didn't plug any address into your GPS, so it can't tell you. So this is the, you know, people ask me for coaching. Right now there's 100 people in the semifinals of the World Championship, and like 5 of them sent me a version of their speech to look at and give them feedback on. And before I coach people, I say, you got to tell me, what do you want the audience to do, think, or feel? I can't help you. I mean, I might see some things that suck in your speech, but where you want them to go? What are you trying to accomplish? And if I had to give one overriding tip about being more compelling, is two, they're related. So number one is, most people tell their stories in narration. And narration is telling us what happened last week, last month, last year.
Yeah.
The key to being more compelling is telling it in dialogue. Dialogue allows us to hear the conversation. Even if it's internal dialogue, if I hear the conversation, now I'm more likely to be connected to you. I'm more emotionally connected. I'm more likely to go with you on the journey if you set it up right. So for example, when I told you, I walked off stage, this man put his arm around my shoulder and said, don't worry, man, it's just your first time. I remember thinking, my first time? Did you see what I did? I got a laugh. Okay. That's dialogue.
Yeah, right. I get it. Nice.
If I said, you know, what most speakers would say is, or most storytellers would say is, so I went up on stage and I bombed. I only got one laugh. And this guy come up to me and told me that, don't worry about it, it's just your first time. Like, by saying, telling me, rather than just using the dialogue, it immediately takes away the emotional factor. Mm. And the purpose, I heard this from screenwriter coach Michael Haig. He said, the purpose of story is to elicit emotion.
Yeah.
And it, you're not going to elicit emotion with narration.
Yeah.
Or you're less likely to, much more challenging. And then the caveat to that is the reaction. Show the emotional reaction to the dialogue. You can't show you can't show reaction to narration.
Nah.
And a lot of speakers just skip over that. When, you know, obviously we're audio here, you can't see my expression, but when I tell the story of handing the speech to Mark Brown, you know, I dramatize it a lot more, but I, you know, I lift it up and I say, like, you could hear choirs of angels. And Mark took the speech. And then I show visually Mark, I take on the character of Mark, and I look at this piece of paper and I just start shaking my head. And I do a, you know, a deep breath. And that's the reaction to him handing me the speech. And then he says to me, "Oh, Darren, we have some work to do." Dialogue, reaction. And then I react to the reaction. What? I wrote the greatest speech that I could write from the level I was at. That's a reaction to the reaction of the reaction.
Yeah.
But it's much more compelling than just telling us what happened that day.
I love it. Well, that's just some gold. So just to redirect the audience again, if they're interested in getting the top 10 mistakes from you, they can go to text
444-22-2-4s-3-2s. 444-222 to top 10 mistakes.
So one word, top 10 mistakes.
Yep. Or you could go to the top10speakingmistakes.com.
Top10speakingmistakes.com.
If that's
That'll be online. Okay, well, I'll put those both in my show notes anyway so they can get them there. Okay.
Cool.
Guys, jump on the hiddenwire.com if you're out and about and don't have that at the moment. But that text idea, I like that. It's a good way to get it. If you are indeed out and about, 44222, top 10 mistakes. Very, correct. Very cool. Darren, I'm going to jump into these final questions for you and then we'll wrap it up.
All right.
First question is, what is your meaning of success?
Service.
Nice. Nice and easy. What routines and rituals do you believe contribute to your success?
My faith.
Yep.
Just what I learned from my mom and dad helping other people. You know, I try to build my business on Zig Ziglar's philosophy. You can get whatever you want if you help enough other people get what they want.
Yeah. Comes up pretty often too, that. Yep. Which is great. It's good advice. What advice would you give your 20-year-old self?
You got this. Don't give up. Well, just keep sponging. Be a sponge.
Be a sponge. That sponge, to me, it has like a negative connotation, but I get it. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, we're all, I think we're all sponges.
Yeah.
But what are you sponging?
What are you sponging? Yeah.
Yeah. If I spend time listening to my brother saying I'm stupid, I can't, eventually I'm going to create a belief based on that. If I don't listen to him and hang around Vinny and other mentors and other people who are saying, dude, you got, that's why the mentor I think is so important. So it's not just that you're a sponge, but what are you sponging?
Yeah. Okay. And have you got one piece of productivity advice that you could share with the audience to help us be more productive and effective in our life?
I use an online, free online Kanban Grow. Kanbanflow.com. It's free and it's an online tool. And sometimes I forget and my desk gets post-it notes all over it. But I use Kanban Flow and my assistant does too. And it's just very visual. It's easy to move projects around and things like that. So that tool helps me. But I think mostly, you know, grounding myself, taking care of myself first in the morning before I tackle my tasks.
Yeah.
You know, doing my praying and doing some of my reading and Bible reading. I mean, that's what I do, but you got to take care of yourself. And then I start my day. You know, I take a walk every morning. I should run. I don't, but I should. But I take a walk. And almost to just, you know, I work out of my own home. So it gets me out of the house. I get some sunshine. And then I had one more thing that I was going to mention. So taking care of yourself. Oh, and then what's your big task for the day? What's that one task that must be done in order to make it a good day? And then I've got all my other tasks, you know, and as an entrepreneur, you never have enough time to get everything done, but you do know what's most important and making sure you prioritize those and then stick to it. So I even have to tell my assistant sometimes, my office manager, my assistant, I'm like, okay, here's my task. If I'm doing anything else other than this, you have permission to come yell at me. You know, and they do. So we all need reminders.
Yeah. There's some great nuggets in there to certainly take away. And if people aren't really, you know, doing that morning starter and really setting themselves up for the day, that's one thing they could do. That's huge. That'll change your life, I reckon.
Yeah, and it's got to be a habit too. It can't just be once in a while.
No, it's got to be consistent every day. And then the you know, just the focus. You know, what's your main focus? Get that done, and all the other things will flow. Even though there's always things to do. And just on walking and running, I sort of love running myself, and my knees have been a bit dodgy the recently. And I heard this Dr. Sanjeev Chopra just recently. He did some research, and he said you get the same amount of benefits from running as you do walking, as long as you walk the same distance that you'd run, which I thought was pretty inspiring and a good reason to walk instead if your knees are giving way, like mine seem to be painful at the moment. But on a side point anyway, let's get back on track. What is your favorite food, Darren?
My favorite food, not dessert. I would just say a nice, a beautiful, nice steak, medium well.
Okay. Have you got a favorite leisure activity?
Favorite leisure activity, riding my motorcycle through the canyon here.
And have you got a favorite book of all time, or one that you've read recently or reading now that you'd recommend?
Well, I'll recommend two. I'm personally a fan of the Bible. Especially if you're into self-development, motivation, like the original quote book was the Book of Proverbs written by King Solomon. Like, there is so much wisdom. And if you go back to any motivational quote you love, chances are it's a derivative of something from Proverbs. And I also, I love Rudy, so I got one of his books of wisdom that I think is great. And also, let me say, a book by Esther Hicks and her husband called Ask and It Is Given. I really like that. And I'm a big fan of The Secret, too.
Cool. So good few suggestions there, guys. I'll put them in the links in the show notes at thehiddenwhy.com. If you do decide to pick them up, if you could support the show and just use the Amazon link there, that'd be great. And if you're not a Audible member already, you get a chance to sign up to Audible and get two free audiobooks for a 30-day free trial. So that's a bit of a deal for you there as well at thehiddenwhy.com. Darren, have you got a favorite quote?
I have one on my desk that I love. It says, "Live your life so that whenever you lose, you are ahead," by Will Rogers. Live your life so that whenever you lose, you're ahead. Will Rogers.
Like it. And what does – oh, the show's all about living life with passion and purpose. What does that mean to you?
To me, it's the living the life you were meant to live. Meaning you know you're on track when you're excuse me, to me it's helping people, inspiring people. So I feel like I'm on purpose.
Yeah.
And when I'm on stage, I have that passion. I had excuse me, one of my comedy mentors. Hold on, drink of water. one of my comedy mentors, when he was afflicted with cancer and he was going through chemo, he said, "Darren, you know, the only time that I don't feel pain is when I'm on stage making people laugh." And for me, it's being on stage inspiring people. That's what I believe I was put here for.
I like it. Certainly something to take away, guys. It's just, you know, go out there and find it connect with that and, you know, start living your life as you desire. Fantastic stuff, Darren. Really appreciate you sharing. Darren LaCroix, everybody. You can find Darren at darrenlacroix.com. Now, I'll spell that out for you. It's darrenlacroix.com. I'll put it in the show notes as well, guys, so you can jump on there and reach out to Darren. Thank him for coming on the show and certainly take him up on the offer for getting that PDF on top 10 speaking mistakes. Darren, is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience before we wrap it up? Any other ways they can get in touch with you or anything you're working on right now?
Well, I have an online program called Stage Time University. If you go to stagetimeuniversity.com, in there you can learn how to be funnier, how to tell better stories. And I absolutely love what I do, and that's the best of all that I know after like over two decades being on stage and following my mentors. So check out stagetimeuniversity.com. If you are a presenter or you know somebody who wants to become a master presenter, I help you become a master faster.
A master faster. And I didn't ask you about how to bring humor into your talks, but there's a
next
certain
time.
Reason.
Next time.
Yeah, there's a certain reason why you can go after that course potentially for you listeners out there that are interested in pursuing, you know, greater speaking. So, Darren, thank you. Thanks for taking the time out and sharing with us today.
All right. Thanks for having me, and good luck to you and your show and all your listeners. Remain hungry and ask yourself every day, what are you sponging?
I like it. Remain hungry. What are you sponging? Thank you, Darren. Appreciate it. Guys, jump in the hidden.com. All the show notes, links, etc. are in there. Until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Hidden Why podcast, where it's all about living life with passion. For all the latest news and updates, please subscribe online to thehiddenwhy.com.
There you go, gang. Hope you've enjoyed that episode with Darren LaCroix. It's a fantastic chat and certainly some gold shared in there around the public speaking presentations and mastering that. A couple of gold tips there. I'll stick everything in the show notes, guys, at thehiddenwhy.com. So jump on there and leave us your thoughts and comments in the fields below. Share it with your network if you can, guys. And if you haven't been able to yet, please leave us a review on iTunes. That would be fantastic. Guys, that's it from me. You know what to do. Go out there, breathe more passion into every moment that you have. Live more purpose in everything that you do. And with that, discover your hidden why. This is The Hidden Why. My name is Lee Martin. Signing out.
Thanks for listening to The Hidden Why podcast, where it's all about living life with passion. For all the latest news and updates, please subscribe online, thehiddenwhy.com. This is The Hidden Why.
Are you ready to discover your hidden why, to discover your life's purpose? Then jump onto thehiddenwhy.com and download my free discovery questionnaire. It's designed to help you connect with what's truly important in your life, and in doing so, create more freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. This is the discovery questionnaire. You can download it at thehiddenwhy.com under the resources tab. Discover your hidden why.